the reading, as well as the texts for this morning, you find in Genesis 22, the verses 1 through to 19. It's a very well-known, yet very striking and revealing passage of scriptures. I'm sure even the children here know the story about Abraham and Isaac. Genesis 22. Hear the word of God as follows. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abram rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abram said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abram, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abram said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When he came to the place of which God had told him, Abram built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abram reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abram, Abram. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abram called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abram returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abram lived at Beersheba. So far, the reading. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Promise is born to the aged Abram and Sarai as by a miracle. What a joy and pleasure this was for them. They had called him Isaac, laughter. And so he caused great joy to his parents and the visible proof that God does fulfill his promises. Ishmael and his mother had left the settlement of Abraham, and God took care of them as well in the desert. That's chapter 16. In his own country, Abraham had become a man to reckon with, so that the rulers of that area had made a treaty with Abraham to secure each other's vital water supplies. He remained a foreigner in the land of Canaan, ruled by the Philistines, but God provided him with his needs. And Abraham, in all faithfulness, worshipped the Lord, living with great expectations concerning the son of promise, Isaac, in whom the Lord was beginning to fulfill all his promises. Isaac is going to be the heir. He will continue what God has begun to do with Abraham. But then comes God's appearance to Abraham in chapter 22. When God requires the impossible of Abraham, when God puts him through the ultimate test of faith, which would seem to destroy their entire present life, as well as their future, go, sacrifice your only son, Isaac, whom you love. How far will God go? What does it take to become the father of all believers? Is Abraham never going to be allowed just to enjoy living as a child of God, surrounded by his blessings? Does God not ask too much of him? Does God at times not ask too much of his children? It is one of the most dramatic stories in the Bible, and one that still fills us with emotions after hearing and reading it so many times. But how can God ask such a thing of his children? Especially of Abraham, who has gone through so much in his whole life already. He gave up so much. Do not forget that Abraham at that time did not know the outcome of this event like we know today. All he heard was God's command, go sacrifice your beloved son. It is the son God himself has given, whom God now requires. God is testing the faith he himself has given to Abraham, and all to the greater glory of his name, all to reveal to Abraham and all of us his great love, in which he has shown in providing us Jesus Christ, and how we as children of Abraham should live in response to God's rich promises of the covenant. It is a central story to which also in the New Testament frequent references are made, directly or indirectly. I preach to you, God puts Abraham's faith to the supreme test. God puts Abraham's faith to the supreme test. And we'll see first God's supreme test, secondly Abraham's absolute obedience, and thirdly God's merciful provision. So first of all then, God's supreme test. Now it came to pass, God tested Abraham. Abraham's life seemed to be more established and settled now. A time elapsed for Isaac to grow up, be prepared to take over the place of Abraham in due time. Isaac Benao was probably a teenager, a young lad, and recipient of all the love his parents could give him, to whom he was most precious, a miraculous gift of the Lord's. At that time, God appears to Abraham again. It is God, says here, and this covenant name of Lord is not mentioned in verse 1. In coming to Abraham with this test, he does not seem to be the covenant Lord who surrounds his child with loving care, whose ways are known to Abraham, his friend. No, this is more like God, whom we cannot comprehend, who is far beyond our understanding, whose ways are not our ways. God came to test Abraham. No, God does not tempt his people. He does not make it difficult for them in order to see them fall. But God will test his people. God will put their faith to the test in order to purify this faith, in order to give us the opportunity to show how strong this faith is, how great our love for God is. Yes, to show that we will choose obedience to the Lord above anything and anyone else. And through this process of testing, these trials, God makes us even stronger, prepares us more and more for his kingdom, giving us great perseverance and endurance. For that reason, much later, James writes that we too must consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, James continues, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. But how far will God go, though? Is God not pushing it to the outer limits in Abraham's case? Is this not stretching it too far? What must Abraham undergo in order to be the father of all believers? God calls Abraham by name, Abraham. And Abraham answers as a humble servant, "Here I am." And then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Now, brothers and sisters, the full weight comes out in the words that are chosen. God knows very well what it means and how difficult the test is going to be. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, the one who is most precious to you, your own son, yes, your only son, Isaac, the one who gave you joy and laughter in your home, the one who you love so much, that son of promise for whom you have waited so long, the one on whom your whole future hangs in the fulfillment of all my promises to you. Take him. It is indeed the ultimate, supreme test to see if God means more to him than anyone and anything else. And go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now, the region of Moriah is where later Jerusalem was established, and some 3 days' journey from Beersheba, where they were. even where it is to take place, as specified by the Lord, and becomes most significant in the further history of Israel. But for Abraham, it only meant a torturous and agonizing journey of 3 days together with Isaac, with each step taking them closer to that dreadful moment. Abraham is to sacrifice him there, as they sacrificed animals. A burnt offering required a total offering on the burning altar, returning to the Lord what he has given to us, and in this case, that most precious of all gifts, the Son of Promise, the dearest one Abraham had here on earth. Now we can hardly imagine that Abraham could accept this test from the Lord as being real. Not only for his own sake, but Abraham must also have thought, how can God do this to Isaac, the one in whom God himself put all his stakes as well for the history of redemption? Israel was not only Abraham's beloved son, he was also God's child, brought about as by miracle for a very special purpose. God has such great plans with Isaac, a blessing for Abraham, for the nation to come, yes, even a blessing to come for the world. How could God just require to take back this life which he had given by miracle? The test for Abraham was not only whether he could bear to do this, but also the agonizing question, how can God do this to his child, to whom he had given so many and great promises? It was indeed an ultimate test requiring total, absolute faith in God, even when it seems totally impossible to us, yes, even irrational and inhuman. Secondly, we will see Abraham's absolute obedience. Now, one would expect at least some questioning reaction of Abraham, some expression of shock, or maybe an attempt to negotiate with God. Abraham was quite capable of that as well, as we know from his pleading for the sake of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, when Abraham time and again pleaded with God to spare the righteous, even if there were very few of them. But now, no response from the side of Abraham is recorded. God's test is clear, very clear, and of such a nature that only one response is required, and that is obedience. Return to the Lord what the Lord has given. Now we can well imagine the turmoil in Abraham's heart and mind, and speculate what emotions he all went through. But all we read is that Abraham got up early the next morning, saddled his donkey, took with him 2 of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. He did not procrastinate. He did not delay at all. Neither did he discuss it first with the others who were involved. You may perhaps also think of Sarai, his wife. But he takes the first step on the road to absolute obedience. And every detail is told us so that the full weight of this test sinks in. We see Abram getting ready, getting up early in the morning for the journey of 3 days. together with two servants and his son Isaac. We see Abram chopping the wood for the fire that would have to burn his beloved son. What a dreadful journey this would have been. Traveling, overnighting, another day's journey, overnighting again. And perhaps hoping and praying that somewhere something would change and make this all a bad dream. On the third day, Abram sees the mountain the Lord had told him about in the distance. And now his servants and the donkey must stay behind as Abram prepares to bring to the Lord the greatest of sacrifices, his one and only beloved son. He tells the servants that he and the boy will go over to that mountain and worship, and then we will come back. We will come back to you. That's the translation always used when it says, "We will come back to you." That's still a very likely translation. Now, when he says, "We will come back to you," is Abram covering up for his servants? Is it too painful to say, "I will come back to you"? Or is it Abram's faith speaking that at this point he is already convinced that even if Isaac would be sacrificed, God can raise him from the dead again? Perhaps it is some of all of the above. But in the meantime, Abraham continues on the road of absolute obedience. Then they go that last stretch, the most difficult part of the journey. And the two of them went on together. A phrase that is repeated to intensify the effects. And the two of them went on together. Now Isaac carries the wood on his back, the wood that is going to burn him. It is like carrying his own cross to the place of crucifixion without him knowing it. Abram carries the fire and the knife, the tools needed to end the life of his son. And then Isaac talks, "Father." And Abram replies, "Yes, my son. Look, we have fire, we have wood here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Did we not forget the most important part?" Clearly at this point, Isaac still does not know what is going to happen. And when his dad then answers, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son," Isaac accepts this answer, and the two of them went on together. God himself will provide the lamb. It's very true. God had provided the lamb for the burnt offering, Isaac. Even as God in the future would claim all the firstborn as his own, or a substitute offering for them, or the services of the Levites instead of the firstborn, God only asks of us what he has first of all also given to us. And then they reach the place. Abram built an altar from the readily available rocks in that area. And then he arranges the wood on it. At that point, he must have explained to Isaac what God had required of him so that he could bind his son, Isaac, and lay him on the altar on top of the wood. And Isaac must have agreed. Otherwise, an aged man like Abram would not have been able to bind his son arms and legs and put on top of the wood. Now, we cannot imagine anyone being able to do this. For then we see Abram pulling his knife, ready to slay his son. that is only possible in the strength of the Lord, in absolute trust in the promises of God. Only possible that in faith, which is a gift of God. He loved God more than his son. And therefore he showed that he was willing to give his own son if God so required. Now that does not mean that God requires each one of us to be able to do the same thing. God does not ask that of everyone. But it does mean that if God would ask such, that we would be willing to do so. Yes, that we would be enabled by God to do so. For such is the faith and obedience that he gives to his people, as illustrated in Abraham, the father of all believers. And children of Abraham, that's you and me, have that same faith and also ought to love God above anything and anyone else. We should be willing to part with anyone or anything when obedience to the Lord would require that. In Hebrews 11, we read the commentary that Abraham by faith offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Note well, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, we read in Hebrews, he did receive Isaac back from death. James also refers back to this faith of Abraham, sacrificing his son on the altar. And then he says, you see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. God tested his faith in order to lead him to complete obedience. Believing the promise is more than a matter of your heart and your mind, but such faith is accompanied and made complete by deeds of obedience. It was an ultimate test. And Abraham surely could have thought of many reasons why he shouldn't have to do this. But he did it in absolute obedience. And thereby God developed his faith to its fullest extent. That faith that is a gift of God. Thirdly, we will see God's merciful provision. But just when Abraham is ready to slay his son, heaven opens and intervenes. Abraham passed the test and had spiritually and factually sacrificed his son. And he had shown that he loved God more than all. The angel of the Lord called out to him urgently from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham pauses and listens to the wonderful tiding from heaven. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." That is fearing God, giving him the highest and first place in your life. Fearing to do anything against his will. Fearing to allow anything or anyone to come in between God and you. Not even one. No matter how dear they are to you. No matter how much is at stake for you. Even if he's your last hope for this life, seek God first. Fear and worship the Lord first of all, and live an upright life for the Lord. Abraham has shown it to the Lord by God's grace. Now I know that you fear God, the angel says. God had made Isaac a very special child, one they waited for a very long time, also in order to be able to put Abraham to this ultimate test with this, his only long-awaited, the most beloved son. Now Abraham qualifies to be the father of all believers, having shown faith to the fullest measure. And now his spiritual children, it's you and me, may comfort themselves by seeing what faith can and will do, what great powers and commitment the Lord will give to his children when they put their faith and trust in him and his promises. But then another dimension is shown in this event. Abraham suddenly hears the struggling of a ram in a bush nearby, stuck with his horns in some branches. God had provided a lamb for him, even as Abraham had prophesied to Isaac. God will provide. Abraham went over, took that ram out of the bush, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Instead of. It's the most symbolic, most prophetic action. God provides one instead of to be our substitute. The Lord provided for Abraham. The Lord provided for all of us. When Jesus appeared, John the Baptist pointed him out and said, "See, the Lamb of God." Abraham did not have to sacrifice his firstborn, only and beloved son, but our Heavenly Father did sacrifice his. "Behold, this is my beloved son." And he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that all who believe in him would not perish, but have life everlasting. And then the Lord renews his promises to Abraham, swearing an oath by himself that God will bless him and his descendants, and how they again will be a blessing for all nations on earth. Abraham was allowed to portray how atonement would be made. Isaac could not atone for our sins. Neither could all these sacrifices made throughout the Old Testament. But our Heavenly Father provided the required sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. His one and only Son. On that basis, the blessings of Abraham, the blessings of the covenant of grace, will all be fulfilled until Jesus Christ comes again. The Lord will provide, yes, has provided, but he requires faith, and has also taught us in this chapter what faith is, how faith must grow and mature so that we truly show that we do fear God with all our soul, heart, and mind. God also tests us, and at times the tests may be severe, yes, seem almost impossible, but it is only to bring out the strength of your faith, that faith given by God, to draw you closer to him. It's only to work perseverance. Such testings, although difficult, are still reasons for thankfulness, for it means that your Heavenly Father is busy with you, he's shaping and he's molding you to be more and more children of Abraham in faith, in order that you may enjoy the same blessings, the same mercy, not because of what we can provide God with, but because of what God himself has provided in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful return home this would have been for Abraham, Isaac, the servants, and imagine Sarai hearing all this after. God made all things work together for the good. He did not put Abram's faith to shame. Imitate that faith, brothers and sisters, and trust that God will provide for you, even as he has provided in giving you Jesus Christ as the sacrifice to take your place, so that you may live in peace with God forevermore, without fear for a judgment. Amen.